Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody, as I always say, after games like this, where they play at home especially, it gets kind of tough to have a guest. But I'm here to talk you guys through a really exciting game. I thought it was a really fun one. The Minnesota Timberwolves, I think, set a record. I'm pretty sure they set a record, a franchise record for threes in a game. Interestingly enough, that's the second straight time that they've done that against a LeBron James team. It's just a funny, interesting stat that I've seen kind of thrown around out there. But the Lakers took care of business. They won at home. Minnesota has yet to win a game on the road this year. Jimmy Butler used the Lakers once again. He's out there. Hey, this is why you should trade for me, because I'm not sure that you could really raise his trade value at this point, especially considering what the Minnesota Timberwolves are apparently asking for him in return. They turned down that one reported 4 first round pick offer that they got from the Houston Rockets, which that's wild. But the Lakers wind up winning, and that's kind of sort of the main theme of tonight. I do care a ton about process and just analyzing the game based on whether or not the Lakers win or lose. Like, otherwise, you guys don't need me for anything, right? If it was just so shallow as to say, hey, the Lakers won, and then the show ended, like, you guys could get that from anywhere. So I'm here to there's a slight difference between ignoring process and taking process into account, trying to contextualize that process and understand how we got to a place. And after the game, Lakers Twitter and social media was ablaze about, wait, why did Lonzo Ball only play so many minutes? And I believe he sat the entirety of the fourth quarter. Luke Walton opted instead for Rajon Rondo. So we'll get to all of that. We're going to talk a little bit about the game specifically. And then in segment two, I want to talk about Tyson Chandler, whose impact was immediate and very deeply felt. And also maybe might have kind of shown what we're looking at in terms of the new center rotation moving forward. We're going to talk about, again, we're going to come back to the Lonzo Ball, Luke Walton dynamic and Rajon Rondo dynamic. I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on that stuff. But let's start on the game specifically. Lakers wind up winning 114-110. I thought, now, you know, people are still going to continue to point to the bad defense, but again, the Wolves shot, Minnesota shot 20 for 40 from three-point range. And it wasn't, Luke Walton said after the game that he thought the shots that Minnesota was hitting in the first half were a lot less contested than the ones that they were making in the second. He was right. Derrick Rose made like 3 or 4 straight off-the-dribble, highly contested three-point jumpers that, like, if he makes those, what do you want to do? And some people were saying, well, if the Lakers had more length in him, in Lonzo Ball, maybe he wouldn't have such good shots. He was just hitting insane shots. Like, there's nothing you can really do there. And I don't think Lonzo Ball's extra length would have impacted those shots, quite frankly. They were just, some of them were off of switches, some of them were just insane, and sometimes that's just how the ball, I think he hit a couple on Lonzo earlier on in the game too, which I guess we're ignoring that for context, right? I also thought, in terms of the Lakers production, I'll get to Tyson Chandler here in a bit, and it's not like Tyson Chandler did a ton that you're going to notice in the box score, but a couple things that I wanted to note here for the Lakers. Josh Hart scores 21 points and has a team high plus 11, finishes plus 11 for the Lakers in 21 minutes. One, 21 minutes is too low given how well he was playing. And two, I think it's time for him to go into the starting lineup. Luke Walton and the coaching staff tried to appease both Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram here by having both of them in the starting lineup. You have to make a choice there. For me personally, I think you move Actually, it doesn't really matter. Between the two of them, especially now with Tyson Chandler playing, who's going to play quite a few minutes, and the Lakers seem to want to get Chandler and Rondo as many minutes together. Rondo and Kuzma seems to make more sense, though Kuzma and LeBron seems to make more sense, and really that's who you need to care more about fitting pieces around. So I guess if I had to select one of the two, I would probably take Ingram out and put him with that second unit and try to stagger it as much as possible. But really what you need when you're playing with LeBron, and it was actually really interesting at the beginning of this last game last night, the Lakers got out there and Lonzo Ball tried to run a few times, and then LeBron tried to run a few times, and guys weren't really filling lanes. And that type of kind of lethargic start isn't something that the Lakers can really afford. Their starters need to play well because their starters are going to have LeBron James on the court with them. And when you, like, it's not like last year where the Lakers tried to beat teams with their second unit because their starters were, they would hope to tread water with the starters and then take over games with the bench. That's not going to be the case this year with LeBron on the court. You need guys who can get out there and strike a couple punches early in the game. And as it stands right now with this current starting lineup, I would say give it another couple games or so to give yourself a proper sample size. But I think at the end of the day, it just seems to make more sense to have Josh Hart out there. All right, we're going to take a quick second here and come back and talk about Tyson Chandler. But first, today's show is brought to you by Metro Infinity. They're over there on 821 East Central Avenue in Monrovia, California, obviously, just off the 210. As I've said all along, they're the number one volume dealer in California. They've been a family-owned and operated business for 25 years now, and they have this brand new facility that you should go and check out. But if you can't get to the facility or you want to see kind of what you're looking at first, check out MetroInfinity.com. They have all of their new listings, they have all of their deals there, they have their used car listings, if that's something that you're more interested in. And if you find something that you're interested in there and you don't have time or you don't feel like dealing with a car dealership, just hit them up. Give them a call at 626-599-7510. And they can bring the car to you wherever you are, within reason, obviously. But they can bring the car to you. You can sign the paperwork. You have your new car, and you have it completely painlessly. Just as an example of a deal right now, you can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation for only $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. That's $1,000 down, and that's a nice low monthly payment. And then if you mention Locked On Anything, you get $500 off. I'd prefer you guys mention Locked On Lakers, but anything that, this is the cool thing that they're doing here, is that they're supporting all of this, the network's local team shows. So let's make sure we continue to support them as well. We're going to take another quick break and come back to talk about Tyson Chandler. So Tyson Chandler finishes the game with a whopping 2 points. Look at that. He finishes the game with a whopping 2 points. He does have 9 rebounds. He only shot 1 of 4 on the game. Didn't get to the free throw line. But the things that he was doing on the court were exactly why those who were excited about the signing were exciting. He did a ton of communicating on the court with younger guys. I said communicating wrong. He had a ton of communication with everybody on the court, no matter who he was out there with. He played center field out there at the rim. There were a few possessions where the Wolves thought that of all of their options out there, and the only way to get Karl-Anthony Towns involved, shouts to Tibbs, man. That is a heist of a contract that he got there in Minnesota. But they thought the best idea with Tyson Chandler out there on the court was to throw the ball into Karl-Anthony Towns. And I don't think in any of those situations he scored. Tyson Chandler didn't budge at all. And if you compare that to, and this was, I think, an apt thing to notice over the course of the game. Poor Kyle Kuzma was out there, and he was in charge. He was matched up quite way too much, quite frankly. Like, if you're going to criticize Luke Walton for something, it's going into halftime, having seen what they saw from Karl Anthony Towns against Kyle Kuzma and making no adjustment whatsoever. But when Karl Anthony Towns had the ball against Kyle Kuzma, poor Kuzma was just getting back down, or the Lakers would have to send help, and they were either getting dunks or corner three-pointers off of it. But when Kat had the ball against Tyson Chandler, the Lakers could stay more at home. You forced a tough shot from Towns, and the Lakers went in the other direction. So I think, you know, that's something that Tyson Chandler is going to offer right away in a more tangible sense. But and then also, you know, he helped seal the game. The Lakers had the ball with a minute left or so, and LeBron took two, quite frankly, bad shots. Like, the shots that LeBron took, both of them were just these deep three-pointers off the dribble with very little movement in the offense. But in both situations, one time Tyson Chandler got the ball off of the Wolves, or forced the Wolves to kind of tip the ball out of bounds just by applying pressure on the offensive glass. And then on the second one, he completely used his old man strength. And now some will say that Karl Anthony Towns was fouled. Sure, whatever. They're not going to call that in those situations. But Chandler was able to tip the ball out for yet another ill-advised LeBron three-pointer. Eventually, though, Kyle Kuzma gets the ball, makes one of two free throws, and on the ensuing possession, Chandler goes down, switches out onto Derrick Rose, who had been hot all game. Rose takes another pull-up three-pointer that Chandler works his tail off to contest, and Rose misses it. Now, again, some will say that Chandler fouled him. I would, again, once again, point to the lack of calls that you're usually going to see in those kinds of situations, but the game was over, right? And look, when it comes to when Tyson Chandler was coming over to the Lakers, my only thing was, he's going to make the second unit defense not a disaster. He's going to force teams to have to shoot off the dribble against the Lakers pick and roll defense, rather than being able to turn the corner and get whatever they want. Now, unfortunately, in a lot of situations, Minnesota was shooting so well that it didn't matter what kind of defense the Lakers were going to be able to play there. But for the most part, I just think Chandler showed a lot of why so many people were so excited about the signing. And now, are we going to get that type of effort all the time? Probably not. And are there going to be games where he just doesn't have it because he's 36 years old? Yeah, I would probably predict that's the case. You look at the minute totals here. JaVale McGee plays 25 minutes. Tyson Chandler plays 23 minutes. And I think that's kind of sort of how you're going to see the game go down from here on out. I think they're going to split time. And I think we'll see how well that math works out. But for the most part, this puts JaVale McGee in a more comfortable place minutes-wise. This means that Kyle Kuzma plays way less minutes, at way fewer minutes at the five, and you kind of figure everything out from there. So congratulations to Tyson Chandler on having the impact that he did in his first game as a Laker. Remember, he grew up in Southern California, so I would imagine that meant something. And there was actually a cool moment in those last few possessions where he was creating extra possessions for the Lakers to help seal the game. He tipped the ball out, and it was a live ball, but he was like egging the crowd on. He had his arm up in the air, and he wanted to hear it from the local crowd. Really cool moment there. Lakers wind up winning largely as a result of all of that kind of stuff. And yeah, shouts to Tyson Chandler, and shouts to the front office for making that happen. That's a huge signing, and I think it's going to work wonders for the Lakers moving forward. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Lonzo Ball, Rajon Rondo, and Luke Walton. All right, so I know the retort to everything I'm about to say here. So I'll start with the retort, and I'll counter the retorts that people are going to have for me. And it's going to be calling for hypocrisy, because when Byron Scott was the head coach of the Lakers, he used to play Ronnie Price down the stretches of games instead of before it was Jordan Clarkson. And then when they drafted D'Angelo Russell, it became Ronnie Price, or whichever point guard it was, instead of D'Angelo Russell. What you have to realize, though, was that those were teams that were always going to win 17-ish games, 20-ish games, right? Like, we knew how those seasons were going to go. It was going to be only about developing the younger guys on those teams and working off of that. This team, this Lakers team, with LeBron James on the team, and with Luke Walton reportedly kind of sort of working for his job, is looking for wins in any way they can possibly get them. Now, am I saying that this is the right thing to do, or that I want this to be the case every game moving forward? Of course not. No. Lonzo Ball is the better player. Over the course of an 82-game season, I can comfortably say that Lonzo is going to be the better player than Rajon Rondo more often than not. But let's not also act like Lonzo was out there lighting the world on fire. He finishes the game 1 of 6 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3. He does have 6 assists to 3 turnovers, and he finished the game a team worst minus 8. Now, I don't really like the individual game plus minus in most cases, but when it comes to team worst and team best, I think it can kind of tell you how the game kind of went. And now I think Rajon Rondo's plus 10 had a lot to do with spending a lot of the time of his time on the court with Josh Hart, who was the team best plus 11, and his shooting was huge out there. But Lonzo, like, when Lonzo just starts floating, it does not make any sense for him to be out there. Now, do I want Lonzo to play more than 21 minutes? Absolutely. That's without a shadow of a doubt. I want to see Lonzo out there more than that. And the other thing, too, that you kind of get a little nervous about when it comes to coaches looking to play the hot hand, or if they play situational basketball or make situational decisions down the stretches of games, they're going to favor the veteran because that's just how coaches operate. I don't think that's the right thing to do either here. But in a game that the Lakers wind up winning, despite playing a team that shot the best they have ever shot from three-point range in the history of their franchise, as measly as the Wolves franchise might be, I kind of think you look the other way in this kind of situation. I don't think Rajon Rondo being out there made the Lakers any less likely to win that game. Now, if we really want to, you know, split hairs here and get down into the nitty-gritty, and Luke actually said this, that one of the things he thought about down the stretch of the game was maybe taking Rondo out and putting Hart in. Now, that would have been interesting, though the Lakers haven't looked very good this year when they don't have a point guard on the court. One thing that Luke Walton said he liked a lot about Rajon Rondo, and he said that, you know, the quote was, Rondo was out there being a point guard. Rondo was a very vocal guy, and the Lakers were trying to immerse a new player into their new system, both offensively and defensively. And so Rondo, being the more vocal guy, being the more confident leader, he maybe Luke felt confident, more comfortable with Rondo out there to handle that kind of situation. In this case, at least there are defenses, right? When Byron was doing his thing and benching D'Angelo Russell or benching any and all of the kids for not manning up, there was no defense to those things. But in this thing, there's at least an explanation. I'm not excusing him. I'm not saying that Luke Walton, and I have never said that Luke Walton is perfect. There are things that I did not like that Luke did over the course of this game, even specifically. I already talked about Kyle Kuzma being matched up against Towns as often as he was. And it wasn't even like a cross-match thing that Minnesota was trying to take advantage of. Kuzma was starting possessions way more often than he should have been, matched up against Karl Anthony Towns, and that put the Lakers in a bad spot defensively. And Luke Walton never really adjusted to that. That, I think, is a fair criticism of him. But in this game specifically, I think it's at least it makes some sense that Luke went with Rondo. I think would I have preferred that Lonzo get some minutes in the fourth? And is it possible that you risk some guys kind of wearing down as the game goes along by playing the entire fourth quarter? Yes, absolutely. And I don't want to see Lonzo Ball sitting out of fourth quarters moving forward. But for those who were calling for Luke Walton to continue to be on the chopping block or in some kind of hot seat after a win against a team that has surprised some people this year with their ability to play through all the drama that Minnesota has played through, I'll let this one slide for now. I hope that a trend doesn't start, and if a trend starts, then I'll address the trend. But for right now, I think we just let this one go, and we see how it develops moving forward. One thing that I think is a fair concern is those who are wondering, well, was this a direct result of Luke Walton's meeting with Magic Johnson, right? Was this, and not just Luke Walton's meeting with Magic Johnson, but after that meeting becomes public information, the Lakers go out and lay an egg against the Toronto Raptors. Did Luke Walton maybe err too cautiously on the side of veterans as a means to appease Magic Johnson or whatever, or even the other thing too here that we should probably take into account, and I had a lot of people asking me, hey, what are you basing this off of, or what are you basing your knowledge of this off of? LeBron specifically wants to play with Rajon Rondo. Like, he has gone out of his way to call Rondo an elite point guard in many of the same ways that people seem to take issue with the Lakers talking about Rajon Rondo. And the other thing too is we know that LeBron James prefers older players. He prefers veterans. And if we're going to give Luke Walton and Magic Johnson and whoever else a hard time for favoring veterans, well then okay, let's also mention LeBron in this picture here. And then it becomes an organizational topic of conversation as well, right? But for right now, I don't think we'll ever see another fourth quarter go by in which Lonzo Ball doesn't play any minutes whatsoever, unless Lonzo doesn't earn those minutes. And I don't feel like Lonzo did enough to make me feel like he absolutely had to be there down the stretch of that game. He gets into this kind of floating mentality, and when he's out there doing that, he's not good enough offensively to affect the game when he's playing that way. And if he's playing that way defensively, well, then you may as well get somebody out there who impacts the game offensively in a better and more significant way. So we'll see how this thing all develops. And hell, maybe Pete might come on tomorrow's show and completely disagree with me on this. And if that's the case, then he and I will fight to the death, and you guys get to listen to that on the air. And we all win. Except for, obviously, whoever, you know, dies. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, the Lakers wind up winning 114-110. They move to 5-6 on the season. And they, look, for those who looked at the schedule, 5-6 was perfectly okay, quite frankly, given the early slate. They come out of here just a single game under 500. They go into Sacramento on Saturday to play a team that has surprised people this year. Sacramento is playing pretty good basketball, but that should definitely be a winnable game. So we'll see how that turns out. But for tonight, I'm Anthony Irwin. You can find me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Make sure you guys are getting your questions into iTunes in the form of a 5-star review. And if you specify that you want it to be answered by both Pete and I, I'll try to get that to Pete as well. Pete and I will be back mañana. Have a great day until then.